Welcome to the July issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont, and I'm joined today by Mr. Eric Gould, the KVNF's news director.
Hello, Felix.
Greetings. And our guest today is Mr. Mark Rober, the 3rd District Commissioner. And Mark, we appreciate very much your taking the time to come up and talk to us.
Well, glad to be here, Felix. Greetings to both Eric and Felix.
Greetings.
I will start with just a couple of questions and then I'll turn you over to the expert here. More than 100 privately owned reservoirs are in our area, I've just learned. And they have altogether something like over 1,500 shareholders, so I understand. And they're overseen by the Grand Mesa Water Users Association. My question to you is, are the county commissioners involved in this movement, or operation of the association? And if so, what are your responsibilities?
Well, we aren't directly involved. Water is a separate right, and the county does hold some water rights, namely with some of the properties we own. But you mentioned the Grand Mesa Water Users. That's just one set of reservoirs. That's just the Grand Mesa. There's actually different. There's the Northport Conservancy District. There's the Surface Creek Conservancy District, and there's the Cropper Conservancy District. It's actually three separate districts of the North Fork River. But as far as involvement, you know, I do belong. I serve for Delta County as their representative on the Gunnison Basin Roundtable. So I keep up on what's going on as far as water, because water is very important to especially our ag community and our livelihoods altogether. But as far as direct involvement, we write comment letters when things come up. We try and keep track of snowtail reports and those kind of things for emergency flooding type issues. But as far as direct involvement in the water, other than the few water rights the county holds, we have none, because that is a separate right.
I know that normally you don't talk about legal matters. I'm going to give this a try, but if you don't like it, just say no comment, and I'll understand perfectly. But the Citizens for a Healthy Community have filed a lawsuit, so I understand, against the Delta County Commissioners and the Delta County Planning Department. And the complaint alleges the planning staff violated the county's specific development regulations regarding seismic testing operations in the Iron Point and Trail Gulch areas northeast of Paonia. What is this all about? Can you comment?
Well, I can comment briefly because the lawsuit has since been dropped.
Oh,
it
good. Okay, we have something to talk about.
But not, you know, there's not a lot to say about it. It was a 106 challenge that challenged our decision. And it challenged, started out as an appeal that said we shouldn't have made the decision to let it go forward administratively. And so that was challenged. The court ruled that they were not going to intervene with a temporary restraining order. So since that time, the complaint has been dropped, but it's probably a precursor to more.
So that's it.
That's
okay.
It.
I'm going to turn you over to Eric Gould, who will ask you some pertinent questions.
Okay.
Eric, you take over.
Thank you very much, Felix. I appreciate it. And thanks, Commissioner. Thanks for being here. I do want to just continue maybe just a little bit on that subject. I won't belabor it too much, but there was breaking news, and that doesn't happen often on this show. Today, Delta County did release a press release. It's from Darnell Placewise, Public Information Officer. And The first sentence just says, on June 28th, Citizens for a Healthy Community voluntarily withdrew a lawsuit against Delta County after Judge Stephen Patrick, District Court Judge, denied a temporary restraining order. So that just goes along with what you were saying. The judge denied the restraining order. And then there was also, as part of this dispute, CHC alleged that there was error in the process and procedures by the planning staff. And the district court judge also ruled against that, and Judge Patrick did not find any fault in Delta County's processing of the request or a procedural harm. So I just thought I might add that in a press release that was just released today.
Appreciate that.
And if you're just joining us, you are here on KVNF. It's Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Eric Gould with KVNF News, along with Felix Belmont. We're talking to District 3 Commissioner Mark Rober. This is kind of a similar topic anyway. I wanted to get back to the Paonia water crisis. And it will circle back to a question about these reservoirs that Felix was talking about. This was an event, obviously, the water crisis in your district. And I just had some follow-up questions for you about it. The after-action report was released, and the cost estimation has also come out. The incident cost the town of Paonia over $95,000. It cost the state over $27,000. And there was over $55,000 of in-kind services. First off, what does that mean? What are in-kind services?
Well, that's the majority of what the county and our staff and the emergency management staff and road and bridge and health department put in. So I'm sure that's what it's accounting for, is just the time that our people put in on the crisis, as well as volunteers.
Okay. And there was a line item there on the cost report that said $2,000 of in-kind services were attributed to Rober Reservoir, which, if I'm correct, your family owns. Is that right? Has owned for years. What role did the Rober Reservoir play in the resolution to the water crisis? And after the system was repaired, there was talk of using the Rober Reservoir as a permanent raw water storage unit for the town. Do you see that happening in the future?
Well, actually, there was talk 25 years ago about maybe doing something along those lines for emergency storage. And we had kind of started negotiations, and then it kind of got dropped. But what my ranch did was the town came to us and with the crisis, and we allowed them to draw somewhere between 10 and 20 acre feet out of the reservoir to put into their system until they got enough storage built up to where it could handle themselves. So that's what occurred.
And you mentioned there's been talk about it like 25 years ago. This has been ongoing. The town has been kind of pursuing, maybe just talking to you about using it for raw water storage.
They had approached us back in the early 90s and talked to us, and then it kind of got dropped. And, you know, they've got a couple of options, but I think with the crisis that happened this year, it maybe spurred some interest that maybe they need to look elsewhere for more storage.
As county commissioner, what did you learn from that water crisis?
I was not as concerned as some people. I mean, it's an inconvenience, but nobody died, and really no lives were even at threat. So it was an inconvenience. I mean, I grew up in the West. Those things happen. You improvise, adapt, and overcome. So
that's what we've been doing in the West for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I grew up in the East, and where I lived before coming out here, if you wanted water, you went to the bathroom or the kitchen and turned on the tap. And that was the extent of your knowledge about the water. And I've lived here for 40 years, and it's still a big mystery to me.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, Commissioner, and we'll move on to a new topic, everyone's favorite topic, land development regulations. Delta County has undertaken the process of writing complete LDRs for the new master plan. The county released its first working draft to the public at Heritage Hall in Hotchkiss, and you were there with the other commissioners to answer questions. First, if you could, just take a step back and talk about why the new LDRs are necessary. Delta County has had very little regulations over the years. why do we need them now?
I think it's time. I mean, this is almost 2020 now, so we've had a lot of, it's always been a pride thing with Delta County not to have regulations, but we really do. And the trouble is we have, right now with this specific development, we have spot zoning, and it's really not predictable, it's not fair, and so we're trying to move a step forward to where we can get something that is fair and predictable for everybody. And it also, you know, I'll take that one step further in conversations and dealings with the federal government. Sometimes they tend to not take us seriously because they say, well, you don't even have land use. So I think to make our voice a little more powerful, maybe it's time.
What do you want to see happen over the next couple months before the official first draft comes out this winter?
Well, it's a work in progress, and I mean, we're going to take the input of the community and try and craft something that's simple and doable to start with. That's the goal, is to keep it simple and not dig into, you can't do this and you can't do that. What I tell people is we're really looking at, you know, what everything you can do. It's more about cans than can'ts. So that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, and here on the Delta County Commissioner's Report for July, we're going to move on to another topic. We're here with District 3 Commissioner Mark Rober. I wanted to ask about something I saw in the minutes from a meeting recently. You were appointed to the Bureau of Land Management Resource Advisory Council. What's that all about? What are your responsibilities in that position?
Well, I've actually been on the Resource Advisory Council since 2013. I'm finishing up a second term. I switched categories during the last term, but my term ends in January, and what you read in the minutes was just a letter of support from the county to reappoint me. And the Resource Advisory Council was set up in the mid-90s by the BLM, and it is supposed to be just that. The BLM is supposed to bring issues to the council and through an education process and then get advice from them before they make a decision. So right now, the council, Resource Advisory Council, is dealing a lot with recreation. And we've had a field tour down in the Junction area. The districts have been realigned, and the Southwest District is, Grand Junction is now in the Southwest District. Gunnison is not. So it's Grand Junction office, Montrose office, and the Dolores office are all in the Southwest District.
And that's the portion that you're administrating, the Southwest District?
Right, on the Southwest Resource Advisory Council.
Okay. That does kind of dovetail nicely into a question I have about the BLM. Last Friday, the Bureau of Land Management released the long-awaited resource management plan for its Uncompahgre field office. This includes public lands in Delta County and throughout the Western Slope. The BLM's draft document makes available a vast majority of public lands on the Western Slope for oil and gas leasing. What was your reaction when the document was released last Friday?
It's about time.
Yeah, it's been something like 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
This has gone on. The RMP is for the Uncompahgre office, which is Montrose, and it oversees all the BLM land in Delta County, some in Gunnison County, and then all Montrose, San Miguel, and Ouray. Yeah, it was a long time coming. I wasn't involved for the full 10 years, but some of my staff has been, and through the cooperating agency status. I think I haven't read through word for word all of it.
It's a 3,000-page document.
Yeah, So, you know, when I need some sleep aid, I'll start in. But I'm glad to see him go forward and finally get it out there. It's just a planning document. And I mean, as far as decisions, they still will go through all the steps afterward, all the NEPA and everything else before anything's actually done. I know there's some disgruntlement with having that many acres open to leasing, but that is, in reality, that's the BLM's mission, is for all uses and to try and manage. And further down the line, they will get into where and when. I think, in general, I think it's a pretty good document. There's tweaks that I would like to see, whether they'll happen or not. Who knows? But it's good to see it out there, because what it's done is delayed a lot of other decisions and a lot of things the BLM should be doing, just because of the work that's been taken up doing a plan.
Obviously, there's going to be critics of the resource management plan, the RMP. Many of them live in your district, and they feel that their North Fork alternative plan and other comments were completely ignored by the BLM. Do you share that belief?
I don't think they were completely ignored. They didn't get adopted word for word. And that, I mean, it's, we all want our own way, but I don't think they were ignored. And I think they were carefully gone through. And I think that theme is there with the BLM. They better toe the line for the North Fork. But yeah,
that's an important point, I think.
I think so. You know, their voice has been heard. I can't say, you know, that they got exactly what they wanted, but you also have to remember, you know, when you kind of go for broke and it's all or nothing, you have to be prepared that you may not get your way. But somewhere, you know, if we can reach a compromise somewhere in the middle,
you get something.
That's usually how things really work. So that's my hope.
And I have one more question, and then we'll leave this topic. Your family has lived here for multiple generations. As a landowner, are you concerned about too much oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley?
I'm really not. You know, the geology, from what I know of it and talk to people and continue to learn more and more about it, the resource isn't really here. Piance Basin gas deposit pretty much ends at the North Fork River. So south of that, there's really not much chance of finding anything. North of it, there's just a few pockets. We're on the edge, and where the drilling is occurring, and most of that's in Gunnison County. Delta County has two wells. I don't think we'll ever see any large boom of oil and gas here.
So are you really saying people are making too much out of over it?
I kind of feel they are. I think nothing builds membership like crisis. But I don't think we'll ever, it's just the geology's not there. The people I've talked to, there's really not a lot of interest. We have two companies that are privately held companies that have any interest in this oil or in this gas. It's predominantly gas. If they weren't privately owned companies, they probably wouldn't be here either, because it's just not a real hot spot. They've found enough that they think it's worth going, you know, trying to develop. But with gas prices the way they are, they're going to be really slow at how they develop. And the predictions I see is that's not going to change in the next 10 years. I mean, we're, in some ways, these small pockets are, you know, not real economical, because the Permian Basin is mainly after oil down in New Mexico and Texas. And they're going big guns, and they're hitting so much oil that their gas is a byproduct of the oil. they're practically giving the gas away just so they can keep drilling. So that affects the markets in western Colorado because we're not close to Houston where they export. And so, you know, it's a long shot gamble.
Well, what you say, I think, is probably going to be very reassuring to a lot of people, actually.
Well, I would hope so. I feel like we've kind of been put through the ringer on some of this thing, and I really don't know that it's that big a concern.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And a little bit of exploration for some future use, even, may be a good thing. And I also think that as going slow, it's a lot easier to keep track of, make them do it right. Then when you get in those boom situations is what everybody looks at, and that's when problems start occurring, because I know our county couldn't keep up with a boom without putting on a lot more staff and people, and I think that's what happens, and that's what really leaves a bad taste in people's mouth.
This is very interesting. This is, to me at least, quite a different take on the thing from what you hear from other people.
Okay, and this is the Delta County Commissioner's Report here in July on KVNF. I'm Eric Gould with Felix Belmont. We've spoken with Mark Rober here, our commissioner from District 3 here in Delta County. Maybe we have a little bit more time for one more question, and I wanted to go to just to talk a little bit about the Back the Badge initiative. This is a proposal to raise sales tax 1% countywide with the funds specifically earmarked for police services. At the Paonia public meeting on June 19th, which you attended, other than media and staff, there was not one citizen present. Does that disappoint you?
Well, yes, but I wasn't surprised on the other hand, because I think word has gotten out quite a bit about the initiative. In general, my feeling is people are probably going to support it. You never know until the ballots are counted. But I think it's an issue that has been on people's mind. I mean, they do see things changing, and they're getting a little worrisome about law enforcement response. And this also, you know, the one thing about the sales tax initiative is it takes into account the tourism industry. It's not just on the backs of the landowners that way. So, you know, it won't be long. We won't be talking about it.
Yeah, so you think it's not so much a matter of people not caring. It's you think they probably have heard about it and have probably decided how they're going to go on it.
People are extremely busy and also extremely self-centered. And you know, if they had something else going on, that took priority. And that's my guess, and that's nothing more than a guess. We'll learn more as time goes on in November when the ballot initiative is on there. That's when we'll see whether people did know what they were talking about or didn't care.
Yeah. Well, part of my job is I get sent all of the police blotters from the municipal police departments and from the sheriff's department. And that's a police blotter just lists the crimes or actions that police investigate every single time on their shift. And you can just look at those and just tell that the incidents of crime in the county are way up. Like the Delta City Police one, the blotter used to have like two or three incidents on it. Now it's like two or three pages.
And that's absolutely correct. And in the past 3 weeks, we've seen a trend even in our jail in this past year. But in the past 3 weeks, we're at capacity. We're within two beds of being completely full. And part of that is a backup in the court system of people not getting through. But part of it is just, you know, things have changed. And what the Sheriff's Department and a lot of people are seeing is that with the initiatives passing in Mesa and Montrose County to where they have more boots on the ground, they've kind of shifted and pushed some of the bad guys to Delta County, and we seem to be seeing a rise in crime.
Well, it's going to be something that we talk about here for the next couple of months. As you mentioned, everyone's already talking about it. That's the Back the Badge initiative. Commissioner Rober, thank you so much. Felix, you want to wrap us up?
Yes, I just want to ask you one quick question, and I hope my facts are correct, but I believe on July 1st, the North Fork Ambulance District takes effect, and the ambulance service is no longer sort of a private supported enterprise. Do you feel that the excellent service we've had experienced in the past will continue?
Oh, I think it will. I think it's more guaranteed to continue and not just depend on good-hearted people.
Gifts, handouts.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of money, they can budget, they can count on a certain amount of income.
That's right. That's right. I think it was due to become a district, and I'm glad to see it happen. I think it's a big plus for the community. So they had a little celebration, and on June 30th is when they passed the name over, and it was good celebration, and glad to see it happen. I think they will continue to serve the North Fork Valley.
Well, it's very reassuring if anybody had any doubts or wondered. Well, gentlemen, I believe that's just about our time for today. Again, we want to thank you for coming up. And as I say, every time one of your people do come up here, we want to thank you for the continued support that the commissioners have given KVNF over the years. And we look forward to continuing that good relationship.
Well, I think we will, because as you know, we depend on KVNF as one of our emergency broadcast stations. So,
well, we haven't had a big emergency to test that, but we're here, and we certainly recognize that that's one of the responsibilities we have, one of the duties, should it ever be necessary.
Yeah. And hopefully we won't have to test it, but we're glad you're here.
Eric, close it out, huh?
Well, thank you so much, Commissioner Rober, and thank you, Felix Belmont.
Right.
For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. This has been the Delta County Commissioner's Report for July. Thanks so much for listening.